this is the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. For today, Thursday, April 30th, focus on Tempe and Ahwatukee. In our first story, First Friday event brings Ahwatukee together by AFN staff. Tim Berry is proud of what he's helped to build in Ahwatukee once a month at Mountain Park Church. He's grateful, too. Over the past 2 years, something really special has been built, he said of Ahwatukee First Fridays, calling it a night our community shows up, where local businesses, families, and friends come together, support one another, and create something bigger than just an event. It's something we've all poured into, and it's been incredible to watch it grow month after month. Those unfamiliar with the free event will have a chance to experience it Friday, May 1st, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Mountain Park Community Church Campus, 16461 South 48th Street, Ahwatukee. And if they don't come this Friday, they'll have to wait to experience it again as First Friday goes on summer hiatus until October. Now wrapping up its second season, First Fridays has continued to grow month after month with more vendors, more families, and more support from the community each time, said Barry, Hope for the Homeless executive director and chairman. It's become one of those events people look forward to, where you can walk through, run into friends, discover something new, and just enjoy being out together. Barry noted the vision behind First Fridays has always been about supporting local, bringing people together, and creating something meaningful while giving back. By bringing that vision together with the former Hope for the Homeless Cars and Cuisine, the event naturally grew into what it is today. It has also been built through the love, hard work, and dedication of local businesses and individuals coming together with a shared purpose, said Barry, who also owns Precision Auto Body Chandler. That shared purpose is to help charities like Hope for the Homeless, as well as local businesses. And sharing that purpose, Barry said, are Keith Call, owner of South Mountain Auto Detail and Holiday Lights Phoenix, Dave Castaneda, owner of Green Chili Love, Bernice Berry, Pure Luxury Tint and Detailing Services, James Goodman and Katie Taylor of the Goodman Taylor Team, and Diana Lopez, owner and administrator of Ahwatukee 411 Media. Barry also is grateful to Mountain Park Church for opening their space and creating a place for the community to gather month after month. The church campus is transformed on First Fridays into a carnival of sorts. Each event brings together up to 100 vendors, including local makers, bakers, small businesses, food trucks, and creatives who are passionate about what they do, Barry said. It's a mix of everything, unique finds, great food, and familiar faces that continue to make each month feel special. The Car Cruisers Meet adds a fun and easygoing car show feel, while live music, local bands, and DJ Raymond keep the energy going throughout the night. Main Street highlights the sponsors and VIPs who help bring this event to life each month. Barry also noted the continued support from Big O Tires, Ahwatukee Desert Foothills and Warner locations, along with other valued VIP sponsors, plays a big role in making all of this possible. Families are a big part of First Fridays as well. The Kids Zone, complete with bounce houses and photo booth, sponsored by the Goodman Taylor team, gives families a place to enjoy the night together. Each month, a main event is featured as a crowd-gathering moment where people stop, watch, and join in on the fun. From dance contests to interactive games, these moments create some of the most memorable experiences of the night, Barry said. One favorite included a pumpkin pie eating contest where 6 participants had 3 minutes to finish a full Costco pumpkin pie. The winner took home $100, donated by Precision Auto Body Chandler. This Friday's event also features 2 raffles, one where the winner will be picked that evening. The raffle is for a new Trane air conditioning unit, courtesy of Brewers Air Conditioning and Heating. The drawing will take place at the end of Friday's event. Attendees will also have a chance to check out 2 vehicles that Hope for the Homeless is raffling this year, selling a limited number of tickets for a drawing that will be held the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Now, in its eighth year, the Hope for the Homeless raffle has offered one vehicle in the past. This year, one ticket for $100 gets two chances to win, with the first winner getting a choice and the second winner getting the vehicle that's left. One raffle prize is a 1981 Special Edition Bullitt Mustang, a tribute to the vehicle the late actor Steve McQueen raced in the classic 1968 cop movie. One of only 3,041 produced in Highland Green, this car is in immaculate condition with only 13,000 miles, Hope for the Homeless says on its website. It is a true collector's car. Also up for the raffle is a 1984 GMC square body pickup truck with a fresh black paint job and low miles on its high output 355 CI GM crate engine and transmission. Only 7,000 tickets will be sold, with the proceeds going to Hope's mission to get individuals off the streets and on the road to a better life. Tickets for both raffles can be purchased at homeforthehomelessaz.com. Barry said this month's theme is Hello Summer 2026, bringing all the bright, fun, end-of-season energy as the community comes together one last time before the summer break. As the second year comes to a close and the third is already ahead, there is so much gratitude for everyone who has supported, attended, volunteered, and helped bring this vision to life, Barry said. When the season returns this fall, Barry added, the mission continues to bring the community together while giving back to Hope for the Homeless and supporting local nonprofits. Vendor information and upcoming opportunities are available at awatuki411.com. In our next story, Ahwatukee Girl 7 in National Competition, AFN News Staff. An Ahwatukee second grader with a passion for science is advancing in a national student competition, and her family is hoping the community can help push her to the next round. London Austin, a 7-year-old Summit School second grader, has reached the quarterfinals of the America's Favorite Student Contest after progressing through multiple rounds of online voting. The nationwide competition, open to students ages 6 to 17, invites participants to share their interests and achievements while rallying support from family and community members. The winner receives $20,000, a feature in Reader's Digest, and a trip to California to meet science educator Bill Nye and tour the nonprofit, the Planetary Society. Johnson's interest in the contest was sparked in part by that opportunity. I had the chance to meet Bill Nye when I was young, and when I told her about this opportunity, we thought it would be cool if she could also meet him, said her mother, Rachel Johnson. London hopes to one day become an astronaut and travel to Mars, her mom said, and is especially interested in learning how to protect the planet. She's very worried about the future of our planet, so she's interested in researching ways to help save the Earth, Johnson said. In addition to her interest in science, London also has excelled academically and artistically. She recently earned an honorable mention on the Nodic math test and completed the first level of the ABR-SM piano examination with distinction. Her father is Morris Austin. Rachel Johnson described her daughter as hardworking, compassionate, and driven. London is a very hard worker, and we know she will achieve anything she sets her mind to, she said. She's very caring and empathetic and such a good friend. Voting in the contest continues online as the competition narrows. Information can be found at americasfavestudent.org/2026/London18. Up next, couple opens second water ice store. AFN News Staff. After building a loyal customer base in Ahwatukee over 18 years at Chris's Water and Ice, a local couple has opened a second store in the community. Rocky Kumar and Sarah Kumar opened Hillside Water and Ice Cream at 4747 East Elliott Road, expanding a business model that has become a staple of daily life in the desert. The Kumars opened Chris's Water and Ice at 1334 East Chandler Boulevard in 2008, not long after they moved to Ahwatukee from Seattle. And like Chris's, their new shop offers more than just purified water and bagged ice. Customers can also find shaved ice, boba drinks, smoothies, ice cream, candy, and a variety of cold beverages, a mix designed to meet both everyday needs and Arizona's near-constant demand for something cold. For the owners, the expansion reflects years of steady growth since they first entered the business in 2008, when they purchased their original store and moved to the area. They've always worked to build relationships with people in their community, said their son Rishik Chandhari, who is president of the undergraduate student government and has helped support the family business. They stay open rain or shine and really pay attention to what customers want. The focus on relationships and routine is central to the success of water and ice stores, which occupy a unique niche in Arizona's retail landscape. In a region where hard water and extreme heat are driving demand, many residents make regular trips to refill containers with reverse osmosis or alkaline water, often weekly. The model relies on consistency and convenience. Customers stop in for water, but often leave with drinks, snacks, or treats, a combination that has helped many stores evolve into neighborhood gathering spots as much as utility businesses. At their new location, the owners are leaning into that approach, offering extended hours from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. and a broader menu of products aimed at families and younger customers. They always look at trends and what people are actually buying. Chandhari said, "That's helped them stay competitive. That adaptability has become increasingly important as the number of water and ice stores across the valley has grown. While the concept remains simple, affordable, better-tasting water, and accessible ice, operators must now differentiate themselves through service, product variety, and customer experience. For the Kumars, that differentiation comes down to something less tangible. They're very community-oriented," Chandhari said of his parents. "They know their customers, and their customers know them." Next up, Trainer Considers Stretching a Core Fitness Practice by Charlene Smith, AFN contributor. Whether you're an athlete, someone with a sedentary lifestyle, or somewhere in between, stretching can play a crucial role in maintaining overall health and fitness. Unfortunately, stretching as a core part of physical fitness is often overlooked. Tori Thompson, certified personal trainer and co-owner of the Body Firm Personal Fitness Studio in Ahwatukee, said many clients initially underestimate the importance of stretching until she and other staff members have the chance to educate them about and demonstrate their merits. "The benefits are genuine and noticeable," said Thompson. "They include increased flexibility, reduced muscle pain and tension, assistance with proper alignment to promote better posture, and even boost mental well-being. That said, why wouldn't you want to include stretching in your workout?" Thompson explained that education about the benefits of stretching focuses more on its practical use. "The stretching movements we share with our clients support daily activity, such as lifting something off a shelf or bending over to pick something up. You can be strong, but not flexible. Who hasn't heard stories of people sneezing and then feeling as if they've pulled a back muscle?" Thompson said, "It's a real thing. The force can strain weak back muscles and is exacerbated by long periods of sitting or poor posture. The studio's emphasis on stretching is evident in classes dedicated solely to stretching and foam rolling exercises, which also include demonstrations of the right and wrong ways to stretch effectively." Thompson added that the culture of stretching is so strong that a recent monthly member challenge featured a calendar with a different stretch for each day. "We always encourage our clients to move only to the feeling of the stretch, never past it to the point of pain," she said. "Stretches are meant to release tension, and moving past that can actually cause harm rather than good results." Dr. Gary Liguori of the American College of Sports Medicine recommends stretching 2 to 3 times a week and suggests that daily stretching is even better. "People who walk most days and that's all they do, they're not going to gain any shoulder or hip flexibility doing that," he said. "They could lose their range of motion." Thompson said flexibility is the foundation of a strong body. "Every stretch opens a door to greater movement, freedom, and well-being. Make a point of adding a stretching routine to help you reach your flexibility goals." The Body Firm Private Fitness Studio has been locally owned and operated since 2007. For more information, see thebodyfirmaz.com. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona for today, Thursday, April 30th, focusing on Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Up next, in Tempe news, sales tax hike could be on Tempe ballot. By Paul Marinek, Tribune Executive Editor. Tempe City Administration is asking the City Council to put a sales tax hike on the ballot this November that would generate revenue exclusively for public safety needs. During a detailed budget briefing on April 23rd, staff outlined a proposal for a 0.4% sales tax as well as a 0.1% increase to the city's transit tax to offset millions in lost revenue and maintain core services. The proposal comes as part of Tempe's $1.56 billion recommended budget for the fiscal year beginning July 1st that reflects a tightening financial picture driven largely by the loss of residential rental tax revenue and rising operational costs. While the council appeared willing to move the proposal forward for a potential November vote, the discussion revealed a consistent undercurrent of unease about whether a tax hike would be the city's first response. The administration asked that council vote on calling for the ballot measure on Thursday, April 30th. City officials said the tax proposal is not about expanding services, but replacing revenue the city can no longer collect. The biggest impact stems from the abolition of the rental tax, which cost the city over $21.7 million annually, including about $18.1 million from the general fund, which pays for day-to-day services. Like all East Valley cities, Tempe not only is grappling with the loss of rental tax revenue, but also with losses in state shared revenue created by the incorporation of Santan Valley and the state income tax conformity with federal tax code changes. This is a permanent loss of revenue, city finance staff told council, emphasizing that unlike an economic downturn, the city cannot grow its way out of the shortfall. With new revenue, officials warned the city faces a growing structural deficit that would eventually force cuts to services. To address ongoing revenue losses and ensure long-term financial stability, staff is proposing targeted revenue strategies focused on public safety and transportation, as staff reports. Staff is proposing establishing a new 0.4% local sales tax to enhance community safety and strengthen the overall security of Tempe's parks, neighborhoods, and public spaces. This measure aligns with the results of the 2025 community and business surveys, which have historically ranked police and fire service, neighborhoods, traffic and street safety, and quality and safety of businesses and homes as top priorities of our residents and businesses. If approved by voters, the new tax is projected to generate approximately $40.3 million solely for public safety. Public safety, including police, fire, and related services, account for about 54% of Tempe's general fund, or roughly $184 million a year. Mayor Corey Woods framed a November ballot measure as asking the residents to provide their input on whether or not this is a proposal they want to move forward. He added, "We're trying to make the numbers work, and in order to make the numbers work, this increase looks like reality." Besides revenue declines, Tempe's operating budget also reflects modest spending increases to keep pace with rising costs, including labor agreements, inflation, and service demands. If approved for the ballot, city staff is envisioning a public outreach effort over the summer well ahead of beginning of early voting. Council is scheduled to meet Thursday, April 30th, and also is slated to vote on a tentative budget May 14th, with final adoption slated for June 4th. Up next, Crepe Bar Thrives on Community Consistency by Paul Marinek, Tribune Executive Editor. At a time when independent restaurants are closing or scaling back, Jeff Krause is doing something different. He's doubling down. Krause recently signed a new 3-year lease for Crepe Bar, 7520 South Rural Road, Tempe, a popular chef-driven spot since 2012 specializing in creative, savory, and sweet crepes, high-quality coffee, and pastries, often using local ingredients. Krauss said he hit that milestone not just because of the restaurant's staying power, but because the community has sustained it since its early days as a food truck. At a time where people are closing and it's harder than ever to make it work, we are doing it, Krauss said, and it's because of the community. Krauss's path to Crepe Bar began in 2010, shortly after returning from a trip to Paris, where he immersed himself in French pastry techniques and discovered crepes as both a craft and a creative outlet. Back in Arizona, he launched a food truck called Truckin' Good Food, built around a farm-to-truck concept and specializing in crepes. The idea quickly caught on. The truck earned national attention, including recognition as one of the most influential food trucks in the country, and accolades from local and national food publications. That momentum led Krauss to open Crepe Bar in 2012, trading the mobility of a truck for a space where customers could sit, connect, and experience the food more intentionally. "I wanted to create a place where people could actually gather," he said. While crepes were relatively uncommon in the East Valley at that time, Krauss said the concept has always been about more than a single dish. "I still think it's the perfect canvas," he said. "You could do something sweet or savory, something simple or something elevated." That flexibility has allowed the restaurant to evolve creatively, from signature dishes inspired by his childhood to award-winning innovations that repurpose leftover batter into entirely new menu items, he said. "We're more than just a crepe place. Our scrambled eggs and patatas bravas dish with a side of crispy pork belly can stand on its own with how good it tastes." Still, Krauss has resisted the urge to broaden the concept too far. "We're not trying to be everything to everyone," he said. "We just want to do what we do really well." He also believes that people who have never tried Crepe Bar shouldn't just come for the food and hospitality. They should come check us out because they are curious about what we're doing or wanting to try something different, who want to check out local art, who like good music, and who need an afternoon pick-me-up, Krauss said. Krauss also made community involvement a core part of his work. He has partnered for years with organizations such as Tempe Community Action Agency and Nourish Phoenix, helping provide food assistance and teach families how to prepare meals with available ingredients. "For me, food is a right," he said. "Hospitality is for everyone." Besides, he added, "the nonprofit work I do for me is to give back to those who have supported me and Crepe Bar while helping build a stronger and healthier community." To celebrate the new lease, Crepe Bar is offering double loyalty points as a thank you to customers, a gesture that reflects the relationship Krauss sees as central to the business. "Truly, without community, none of this is possible," he said. "Nor, apparently, is it possible without Krauss's approach to stay consistent, stay creative, and keep showing up." For information, contact crepebar.com 480-247-8012. Up next, 9 districts reach partial agreement with East Valley Institute of Technology, by Paul Marinac, Tribune Executive Editor. The East Valley Institute of Technology has agreed to partially fund the career and technical education programs of the 9 districts suing it, and talks resumed to resolve their differences involving millions of dollars for their satellite CTE programs. The parties will engage in additional mediated negotiations with a mutually acceptable mediator regarding the contested portion of the funding for this school year, according to a stipulation filed with Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Christopher Corey. They will also continue meeting through the rest of this month to come up with new intergovernmental agreements, IGAs, for funding the district's satellite CTE programs in the future. The 9 districts sued EVIT last fall over its withholding of state funds for their on-campus CTE programs for high school juniors and seniors. While EVIT reached agreements last spring with 3 of its member districts, Mesa Public Schools, Scottsdale Unified, and American Leadership Academy, negotiations broke down between it and the 9 other members last September. Those districts then filed a joint lawsuit. They included Apache Junction, Cave Creek, Chandler, Fountain Hills, Higley, J.O. Combs, and Queen Creek Unified School Districts, Tempe Unified High School District, and Gilbert Public Schools. The intergovernmental agreements cover EVIT's funding and supervision of satellite CTE programs serving over 26,000 juniors and seniors. The 9 districts balked at EVIT's demands for more supervision of their satellite programs and its move to keep a greater share of the state funding it passes to them. After the two sides traded a series of charges and countercharges in court filings, Corey last month ordered each district and EVIT to send a delegate to his courthouse beginning April 21st for daily talks until they reached an agreement. Those talks will continue through the end of this month, unless the mediator concludes that either the parties have reached an impasse or that either side is not engaging in good faith negotiations, according to the stipulation. If no agreement is reached, the parties ask Corey to set a date on the first availability day after April 30th to discuss the status of the case. EVIT did not respond to requests for comment on its new agreement to continue talks, nor on the amount of money it's giving the districts now and how much is riding on a resolution of the case. The roots of the dispute date back to early last year when the EVIT governing board said it needed to address a number of issues raised in a 2024 audit by the Arizona Auditor General. That report criticized EVIT on several issues that had nothing to do with satellite CTE programs. The audit recommended that EVIT develop and implement consistent data collection protocols for all CTE programs and analyze all CTE program outcome data to evaluate the effectiveness of the CTE programs. EVIT contended that it needed to withhold more of the state funding it had been passing to the districts to cover the costs of meeting the Auditor General's recommendations. The districts say EVIT later shifted to an even broader claim that nothing in the statute's plain language requires CTED to distribute any minimum amount of the satellite ADM funding to the member districts. The districts also contend that the state law provides no parameters regarding how enrollment funding generated by the districts must be split with the districts. That, the districts argue, is exactly why the court needs to intervene. You've been listening to East Valley News, focused on Tempe and Ahwatukee for today, Thursday, April 30th, on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Kim Chupa Cornell. Remember, you can always hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Music is News, News, News by Postador de Musicus. Join us next time for an upcoming episode.